Harper Audio presents Psychic, My Life in Two Worlds by Sylvia Brown with Lindsay Harrison. Read by Hilary Huber. Preface. In case you're wondering why I've chosen now to write my memoir, let me make something clear right up front. I'm not retiring, and I'm certainly not going home yet. I've got far too much left to do. The simple answer to why now is that I've decided I'm ready to talk about my life and my work in my own words. In fact, I may make a habit of doing this every 73 years, whether I need to or not. To some of you who've read my other books and or come to my lectures, many of the stories in this audiobook will be familiar. To all of you, I promise there are stories in this audiobook you've never read or heard before, stories we can all laugh about and cry about and learn from together. I've included overviews of many of my philosophies and psychic experiences in these memoirs, and if you find yourselves wanting to read more about any or all of them, know that I've written entire books about each and every one of them. I've even written entire books about the fact that there's a father god and a mother god, by the way. So please, don't let it throw you that for the majority of this audiobook, I referred to God simply with male pronouns. The alternative is to use the word they, or he, she, which is just plain annoying. Besides, I don't believe for a moment that they care what we call him or her, as long as we commit our lives to his or her service. See what I mean? In writing, as in life, get too bogged down with technicalities and you miss the whole point. For the most part, though, this audiobook isn't about the spiritual psychic I am. It's about the woman I am, not remotely psychic about myself. When I look back on this particular incarnation, I'm as mystified as you might be at the choices in my life that actually seemed like a good idea at the time. If you'll forgive the cliche, this isn't the story of a victim. It's the story of a survivor, flaws, missteps, and all. It's coming straight from my soul to yours, and I truly hope you enjoy it. Chapter 1. Growing Up Psychic. I believe that before we come here from the other side to start a new incarnation, we write very detailed charts for our lifetimes to help guarantee that we accomplish the goals we set for ourselves. We choose our parents, our siblings, our friends, our enemies, our spouses, our children, our careers, our assets, our challenges, our health issues, our best and worst qualities, the best and worst qualities in those who are closest to us, and certainly the timing of it all. As I look back on this long, strange, complicated life I've lived, I just have one question about the chart I wrote. What the hell was I thinking? It's Valentine's Day, 2009. I'm 72 years old. I'm blind in one eye, and I have a limp from an irreparable crack in my femur, a lasting token of my first husband's esteem. I'm standing at the head of an aisle in an ivory silk dress, holding a bouquet, surrounded by a room full of family, friends, and my Novus Spiritus ministers. Smiling confidently back at me from beneath the arch at the end of the aisle is a tall, handsome, 62-year-old man named Michael Ullery. In the year we've been together, he's seen me at my best and my worst, and he's been nothing but kind, supportive, patient, hard-working, and thoughtful. He's so good-natured and in such a perpetually good mood that I frequently stare at him, especially first thing in the morning when he brings me coffee without my asking, and say, "What's wrong with you?" Michael is a successful jewelry designer and businessman. I first saw him in a jewelry store near my office in Campbell, California, at a time in my life when my position on relationships was a firm, non-negotiable, spare me. So you could have knocked me over with a feather when I found myself asking the store owner about the attractive man behind the counter who was busy helping another customer. On our first date a week or so later, he apologetically admitted that when we were introduced, he didn't have the first clue who I was. just when I thought he couldn't be more perfect. And the rest, as they say, is history. So here I am, limping down the aisle into marriage number 4, or number 5, but only on a technicality. Impossibly happy, but also chagrined at the fact that obviously, when I was on the other side writing my chart, it seemed like a great idea to wait until I was in my 70s to meet the real Mr. Right. I repeat, what the hell was I thinking? Then again, if it took this long and this much to get to this moment, I might write that same chart all over again.